But I've asked some of them to come if they wouldn't mind to speak on what took place this year at Teen Conference. One of our own was the speaker this year at Teen Conference. One of the kids that was in the youth group at First Baptist Potosi when I was in the youth group here at Bethel was our speaker this year. His name was Tony Crocker. And then we had some recreation time and stuff like that. I've asked the kids to keep their comments kind of directed into two kind of lanes. The first one is something that you learned, and then the second one was somebody that you might want to thank. And then if they want to add to that, they can. So students, those of you guys that got prepared during Sunday school or you want to, feel free to jump up and volunteer. Who will be first? All right, Paris. Paris Perkins, everybody.
So for the things I learned, I definitely learned how strong prayer can be. At the end of the sermons, we would go up to the altar and pray with everybody. And that was just really powerful and moving, and you could feel that God was there with us. And for my thanks, I want to thank Shannon. She was in our room, and she was just really great, and she had a lot of conversations with us, and we definitely kept her up a little too late, but but yeah, she was awesome. So, yeah.
It's the speaker this year is actually like really, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Pretty much preached the gospel every sermon. And one thing that really stuck out to me is, like, I remember hearing the story, but just hearing it again just kind of makes me think about it a little bit more. But Luke 23:39-43, Jesus says to the person nailed on the cross next to him, you know, after pretty much, let's see here. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Kind of shows that, you know, you can take as many steps away from the cross as you want, but it takes one to get back to it. So now that one I really liked hearing that.
So this year was pretty fun. One thing I learned at Teen Conference is Tony talked about how to be holy and how important sanctification is, because it's the daily journey of trying to be holy and trying to be better than what you were yesterday. And us as a youth group at Awana have also talked about that. It was really cool. I want to thank Lucas. I know he's not here, but me and Tristan got to spend a lot of time with him at the zoo and the mall, so that was really fun. And then this year I got to make a new friend. His name's Tucker. He came with First Baptist of Potosi, and it was just really enjoyable just hanging out with him playing knockerball.
So Tony Crocker was a speaker, like Brad said, and he focused on holiness, and so that's what we talked about. So one thing that spoke out to me was that God's will is what God wants. And as I'm growing up, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And that's what spoke to me, is that God knows what he wants. It's what he wants, not what I want. And he's going to tell me and lead the way with what I want to do, with what he wants me to do. Amen. And then thank you to Shannon. She was our sponsor in our room. She was amazing. And thank you to Brad for making all this possible in the church. You all, we cannot do this without you, so thank you so much.
Inky is a part of our youth group, and she wrote something but wasn't able to stay for second service, so I'm going to read it for her. Isabel Inky, I learned that the best thing you can do in life is surrender your life to Jesus, and that no matter what the Lord lasts forever and will never leave you. I'm thankful for all of the friendships that began and the ones that grew even stronger, and I thank God for everything that he's doing in my life. This morning, I'd just like to briefly thank those that come as sponsors. Some of them took off work. I had some of my old youth group with us this year. It was enjoyable. It was. Hannah's had a pretty rough year, and it was good to have Rachel and her boyfriend, Tony, with us. It was good to have Lucas with us this year. He's home from break right now. Tony's always enjoyable to be around. He's hardly ever in a bad mood. He's a great sponsor. probably going to forget some of you guys that was college age with us, but I think I got you all. It was just good to have you guys. These kids were in my youth group just a couple years ago and know the importance of this weekend retreat. It is a good shot in the arm in the middle of the school year. It was devastating last year that we didn't have it because of COVID, but was able to get back after it this year. Today I've chose just two verses to kind of encapsulate what took place at the conference. I told the youth group there was a couple of things that come away from student conference this year that's going to get stuck in my mind probably for the rest of my life, and one of those Melody shared. I talked about it in Sunday school. It was just a line that he said. A lot of times there's questions about what God's will is. God's will is what God wants. It's just a really simple statement that really gives a good definition. You know, we search for God's will. God's will is simply what God wants. There was a couple of other things that Tony talked about during his four sessions, but it was refreshing, honestly, that we had a speaker that was so able to share the gospel clearly. He did it several different times, and his message framework was as good as you're ever going to hear anybody develop. It was excellent. He came prepared, and I appreciate that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "But as for you, you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." You have known the people that you learned from. You know, there's a lot of people in our congregation today that are heroes of mine in the faith. Many of you are sitting in here today that have mentored me and taught me and given me an example in the last 25 years of what it looks like to stay faithful to God, both in leisure and in public. And I think my youth group is positioned about as well as any young person can in this life spiritually, both at home and in this church, with good examples. Paul tells Timothy, don't forget who you are and remember who you learn from, those type of people. I was thankful this year to bring some of the college-age kids that I've had in ministry down through the years and had a chance to touch base with one long distance this week that doesn't live in this area anymore. I haven't seen for about 20 years. And I just simply said, I'll go to where you're at if you need me to. I'll always be your youth pastor. It's just a great job because living the spiritual life is what God has called us to. You guys are making an impact on our kids. And I want to thank you for the example that you give to us. Just as Paul told Timothy, watch the people that you have learned from. We have excellent examples in here. This year, one student stood out amongst the rest of them on being able to get the arms twisted all the way to the conference. We had a lot of invites given. Some just didn't come, but Melody did a great job this year of closing the deal on some of these kids, and her room was definitely interesting. Shannon was in there with seven girls, and apparently the boy talk was just almost to the extreme, but she survived. Church, you guys paid about probably $3,000 to $4,000 out of the youth budget to make this conference happen, and it has made a lasting impact in those that went, I can assure you. And we appreciate your support. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Kid Stein.
I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but it's still true. I'm well-connected in the state and Merrimack Association. So Brother Brad serves on the committee. My son serves on the committee. My nephew serves on the committee. So I wanted 5 minutes of the time in the conference to speak for Baptist Missionary Association of Missouri Missions. And I did that. And so I was at the last message that Brother Tony brought. These are the 3 points that your young people and the people at the conference heard at that, and it's based on 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 10, and it was this: do not believe teaching that says the Bible isn't true. That's what the Youth Alive speaker said to your young people. Does that not need to be said to all of humanity? Do not believe teaching that says the Bible isn't true. Number two, to beware of preaching that limits what God can do. Don't listen to it. Number three, do not leave this conference without the gospel changing you. It was good. It was good. Brad did not overstate that when he said that Brother Tony came well prepared. Some of the best constructed messages these young people are ever going to hear. And I'm including myself in that. Brother Tony is an amazing speaker. With that said, there's two times that Tony has absolutely blown me away, and it had nothing to do with preaching. The first time was I was preaching a revival for the church that he pastored in Memphis, and he made a statement that I've never heard a young man say about his dad. He said this, "My dad is perhaps one of the top five bow hunters in the nation." I just looked at him and thought, all right, come on, dude. I get it, you're a son. I get it, he's your dad. One of the top five in the nation? You're going to have to prove that. You're going to have to back that up. I'm sorry, Tony. I love you and all, but come on. Well, you see, this was before I knew Jerry Crocker. This is before I knew that Jerry Crocker went into taxidermy just so he wouldn't have to pay someone to do all the deer that he had killed. This is the fellow that retires a bow after he's killed 50 deer. And he retires a bow pretty regularly type thing. And you would never know it by meeting him. He's not your typical Missouri hunter. He's quiet. And oh, is he effective. I would hate to be a target of Jerry Crocker's type thing. The second statement, and I think in order that one came second. The second statement, though, was at the Anatole Hotel in Dallas, Texas. And we were there for a National Association meeting, and Tony saunters up to me, and at this point, Tony's probably only 3 or 4 years into the ministry, maybe still even in college, and I'm here as your full-time youth director. And he walks up to me and says something that I have never had said to me before. "Brother Ben, did you know that your name is on a tombstone already?" No, I'm not aware of that. And I said, "I mean, I'm sure there's other people named Ben Kings." No, this is your name. I said, "Tell me." You see, his brother and two sisters were killed in a tragic car accident several years ago. And actually, I think it was him and his sister and a friend. And 2 weeks previous to that tragic accident, the youth director, Tim Brewer, had asked all the youth to write down their testimony. "When did you get saved?" And Nathan's simply was, "I was at Jesus Camp at Garwood, Missouri, and Brother Ben Kingston was preaching, and I prayed to receive Christ after that message." And that's on. You can go to a cemetery in Potosi, and you can see that. I didn't know that. It's pretty cool to me. And so Tony means a lot to us as a church. Tony means a lot to us as a state. Tony is the one that went to Mongolia, and the only reason he's not still at Mongolia is because his wife got a very rare disease. It almost killed her there. And so they're living in America now because that's the safest place for them with her health situation. And he's faithfully pastoring Emmanuel Baptist Church in Greenbrier, Arkansas. Psalm 127. Would you please turn there before we get started? And I am going to speed up my pace here because I've got several things I want to say. We're basically bringing, if you will, the series on how to prepare for 2022 and making the improvements that you need to make. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you have not seen the online message from last Sunday, I encourage you to do that as soon as possible, if you can, because it's a part of this series. And so just in way of review, I hope the point of the Christmas message comes to mind when you hear me say, "No ocean can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies." Point number one of that message 3 weeks ago was nothing did, nothing could, nothing would, nothing will ever stop your God from loving you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Your obedience to God's plan, God's will, God wants what he wants in your life. Your obedience to God's plan for your life is supported by the full cast of God's entourage. When you and I say, yes, Lord, God backs you up with the greatest support known to man. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Point number three of that message was no love relationship with God is complete or whole without complete surrender to the transcendent cause of others. Preparing for evaluations for improvement for 2022, who gets to decide what improvements need to be made? Shouldn't that be the Lord, especially in keeping with what we've heard about God's will? It's what he wants. The scripture says it this way, or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own, for ye were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. So 2 weeks ago, we said God should be the one who decides where we improve. He knows us best. He has our best interests at heart. He has invested the most. He has the most to gain or lose by us succeeding in the plans he has for us. But now we have a problem, don't we? How to hear from God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about this simply. A change of place and a change of pace brings a whole new perspective. Guys, we need to clear us a spot. We need to have a spot every day where we meet with God. That was point number two. Determine that God's voice is going to be the loudest in your life. I shared with you in both a Sunday evening service and 2 Sunday mornings ago about the prayer retreat that I had with 8 other pastors and Brother Larry Barker. And when I was walking into the if you will, the foyer of the Youth Alive conference meeting room, there was a young man that was at that retreat. And he said, "Is God the loudest voice in your life, Brother Ben?" Because that was an impactful statement upon all of us. God's word has to be involved. Sins have to be confessed. Others have to be accounted for. Proper introductions. That means that you know who God is. You're praising him as you enter his audience. Faith is a must. You'll never know how small you are or your problem is until your God is all you can see. And 2 weeks ago, lastly, I just asked you to say, "Lord, here am I. Speak." Ask your master, ask your creator, ask your friend, ask your counselor, ask your confidant, ask your lawyer, ask your protector, ask your guide. And this is all the same person, your provider, your sustainer, your breath, your life, the lover of your soul. Ask Jesus what New Year's resolutions, goals, or processes or problems to solve would you have me make and do in 2022 that will make my life your version. I'm sorry, that will make me your version of myself. So, on the online message, I asked you to clarify these thoughts with these questions. What problems do I face in 2022? I'm curious because I know in my situation, as I sat there at my spot and answered this question, I was overwhelmed. But I wasn't near as overwhelmed as when I answered the question, what responsibilities do I have? In that sermon, I shared that I have a sketch pad. You know, I have this belief about myself that I can draw. I can't draw stick people very well, but I like to try. And I have a sketch pad about yay by yay, and I feel from one side to the other 3 times on responsibilities. Church, I'm not busier than anyone else in this congregation. We have a lot of responsibilities. We need to get it on paper. We need to know what we are supposed to accomplish. What do I need to start in 2022? What goals do I need to have? What do I need to stop? And these first two questions will answer a lot of those questions. What hopes and desires do I have? And now that brings us to today. Hopefully we're going to tie a little nice bow on this series. Will you stand? Psalms 127. Psalm 127. I have it in my notes, but I'm going to read it from the Word here. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, we ask you to add your blessing to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This is just another way to say that if we're going to make improvements in 2022, those improvements need to be what God would say need to be the improvements. So I want to share with you. Now, we've been speaking in generalities for the last couple of weeks. So far, other than the prayer life and possibly hindrances to that, now we're going to lovingly challenge you to seek the Lord and get ready, because I know preachers are only supposed to come with 3 points. Well, you guys know that I've abandoned that. The advantage, though, for first service is they have a cutoff. You guys do not. With that said, I'm going to be gracious on you. I'm going to show mercy. Roughly 2 minutes per point. Hang with me. I'm going to give you these 10 areas to use as a guide throughout the year. These do not come from me. These come from a fellow. You may have heard of him. If you listen to 91.5, you have. His name is David Jeremiah. He has a struggling church in California. About 10,000 folks, I believe, show up every Sunday type thing. Shadow Mountain, I believe. Fantastic preacher and speaker. But these 10 areas will increase our impact on the kingdom work of God by knowing throughout the year what God would have us do. So what am I trying to say? I'm asking you to use these 10 areas to evaluate throughout 2022, am I doing, Lord, what you want me to do? The first area is simply daily prayer life. Now, we've pretty well covered this, but let me just say here in my little 2 minutes, your pastor, I'm not even speaking to you. I tried to blame it on you. I tried to say, Lord, that'd be something great to tell the church. And the Lord's like, no, I'm talking to you, son. How can a person who has been saved for eternity, changed radically by the gospel of Christ, and what is that? That's the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. How can a person go for a 24-hour period of time without passionately and sincerely seeking his audience? How can we do that? But yet I found that if I'm not careful, and if I give in to my wants, my will, if I give in to this world's will, if I let just the day set my schedule, I can go 24 hours without passionately and sincerely seeking the audience of God. And there is no other person that I need to hear from more than him. Daily prayer life. We need to evaluate that throughout 2022. Number two, daily Bible reading. You know, effective prayer is not just you talking to God. Effective prayer is you talking to God and him talking to you. And some of the best prayer time is him doing most of the talking. And he speaks to us through his word. And it's so important that we make sure. Now, for Dawn and I, and praise the Lord, and it's all credit to her, I'm telling you the truth, because she's usually the one, if it's starting to get close to having to leave to go to work, she will initiate and say, are we going to do our, yes, honey, we are. So we simply, because you know these devices, all we got to do is go to it and hit the thing and it talks to us. It's amazing. Proverbs, the chapter that coincides with the day. And we made most of the days this week, not all of them, but we made most of the days this week, and that is one of our evaluation tools. Church, I'm going to tell you, you cannot exhaust the wisdom of Proverbs. You just can't do it, and it will bless you. It will. And this week, not with her, but on my own, I've been adding the Psalms, the 5 Psalms a day. So on January 1, it's Psalm 1, 31, 61, 91. Y'all know my math skills, but you get the point. And so daily time in God's Word. Point number 3, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22. In a handbasket, and you and I can be full of joy. Wow. A handbasket, and you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love joy. Handbasket, and you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love joy. Basket, and you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love joy. Peace, and you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love joy. Peace, and you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love joy. Peace. And you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love, joy, peace. And you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love, joy, peace. And you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love, joy, peace. And you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love, joy, peace. And you and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love, joy, peace. You and I can be full of joy. Wow. Love, joy, peace. Is our world not absolutely dying for peace? And that doesn't mean, peace doesn't mean that everything's going okay in your world. It means you're at peace with God. Long suffering. Now, I asked Brother Doug, we've got a little joke in first service with Doug Henson. If I ask him how he's doing, he'll say, well, you need to check with my wife. So I asked him this morning, so what's your wife say about how you're doing today? He says, well, you know, when you was going through that fruit of the Spirit thing, you know, the love, joy, peace, I was struggling until you got to long suffering. I said, there I am. And I said, and your wife said, oh, she just cut her eyes at me. Long suffering, kind, gentle, meekness, temperance. You see, if you and I show these things, and I love this. I think it was David Barden, may have been Bill Gothard, I can't remember. But one of those guys said about the Ten Commandments, don't you want to live next to a neighbor that believes in the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Yes, I want a neighbor that goes by those. I also want a neighbor full of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Point number four, faithful involvement in my church. And I joked at the first service, we're going to just stay here for the rest of the service. I'm kidding. But we need faithful involvement in this church. Every person, all hands on deck. I can tell you, the nursery could use some help. I can tell you, CR could use some help. I can see the Sunday school report. You're going to see all of the positions for teacher filled out. When you see the Sunday school report, you're going to see all of the positions for teacher filled out. When you see the Sunday school report, you're going to see all of the positions for teacher filled out. And then in the assistant, you're going to see blanks. We need help. We need help. I'm not here to twist a single arm. I'm here to lovingly instruct you. Ephesians 4:13, I am to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So I'm asking you to spend some time in researching what your spiritual gift is and then ask the Lord, where do you want me to use this spiritual gift at in Bethel Baptist Church? I'm begging you. That's an area that we need to evaluate. Number five, a plan for financial stewardship. And I know, oh, no, Brother Ben, you're meddling. No, no, no. This is per the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Do you have a plan for spiritual stewardship? Do you know what God wants you to do with your finances? It's extremely important. When it comes to the financial area, there's nothing more important than what God wants you to do. Now, the little funny in this, if you will, is my wife and I were conversing about, did you know that there was some weather possibly slated for yesterday and it looked like we might get some more slippery stuff? And one of us just kind of exclaimed, oh man, two Sundays in a row? And then Dawn said, yeah, and that's two offerings in a row. She's kin to the treasurer, you know that, right? And I'm like, ugh, watch this, church. This is God's church. He's going to pay for her. He's going to take care of her. But you know how he does that? He does that through tithes and offerings. And so it's extremely important for us to remember that if we miss a couple of Sundays, that doesn't mean we get that tithe off. Doesn't mean that. Some of you are like, huh? It means that you may have to find other ways to get that tithe to the church. We have online giving. I can't tell you how all the tithes that come through the mail, so on and so forth. Daryl even got on to me one Sunday when I forgot that. He says, we gave online. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm old. I don't do online stuff because I can't remember my password. But nonetheless, true story. So, but it's so important. And I'm so thankful. Please hear me on this. First service was pretty faithful. I'm curious if you guys will be too. How many times have you heard this preacher get on to you for not giving? Best I know, because this church is a giving church. hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But it's just so important that this be an area that we evaluate and we make sure that we are doing with our finances what God wants us to do. Number six, lifestyle of witnessing to non-believers. We have done an amazing book in our 5:30 study, pointing there because that's where it happens. And tonight we will be doing the last night of that particular study. I'm hoping to re-up, probably not the following week, but soon do a sign-up sheet and see if we get enough folks to come type thing. But that's a great book to go through. It's called The Art of Neighboring. Church, if we want to grow, we're going to have to love people. If we want to grow, we're going to have to love our neighbors. Now, watch this. There's a part in that book that challenged this Baptist preacher. And it said this. The gospel to your neighbors cannot be the ulterior motive. You can't be nice. You're not. God is not asking you to be nice to people just so you can win them to the Lord. He's not asking you to do that. That cheapens the gospel. He's asking you to love people because God knows that that points them to the cross. He'll do the wooing. He'll do the persuading. He'll do the calling. That's not yours and my job. Yours and my job is to love people. Watch this. He said the gospel is not the ulterior motive. It's the ultimate. If it happens, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. If it doesn't, God has changed you by loving people. There's been some amazing stories come out of this. You may or may not know that there was an actual and is an actual neighboring movement going on in Denver, Colorado. And literally thousands of families are being impacted because 20 churches decided we're just going to do what God tells us to do. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this book really helps you understand how to do that. Number seven, faithfulness as a spouse and or parent. There is one institution that is being attacked more than any other institution known to man, and that is the family unit. It is. And church, I believe with all my heart, we are the place, meaning the churches of Jesus Christ are the place that the world should be able to look and see. Now, that's how family ought to be done. They may not even agree, but they can see the joy. They can see the effectiveness. They can see arrows in a man's quiver. And they grow up strong and true in the Word of God. And they can see that there's a difference. And I'm going to tell you, church, statistically, it can be proven that a family that raises their children in the nurture and admonition of God's word, then I walk over to the wife because, dogs, I'm just knocking it out of the park. And then I walk over to the wife because, dogs, I'm just knocking it out of the park. And then I walk over to the wife because, dogs, I'm just knocking it out of the park. And then I walk over to the wife because, dogs, I'm just knocking it out of the park. And then I walk over to the wife because, dogs, I'm just knocking it out of the park. And then I walk over to the wife because, dogs, I'm just knocking it out of the park. And then I walk over to the wife. She's like, I walk over to her, and she goes, can we talk? Huh? And greater men than I, John Smith type, James Dobson type, have encouraged me through their teachings and writings to ask the question, how am I doing? How am I doing? Now, I'm not trying to be anything but real because I'm the person here that struggles too. If I'm not careful, I don't ask that question. Why? Because I don't want to know the truth. Because I'm happy just to stand in front of my mirror and say, no. If we really want to be what God has called and asked us to be, we're going to ask the question. And ladies, it goes both ways. All of us need to ask that question to our family members. Children to parents, parents to children. How am I doing? Because we need to know. And when we know, we can make improvements. I believe we're to eight. Avoiding non-edifying entertainment. And I know now we're really meddling. When one finger goes out, three comes back. Avoiding non-edifying entertainment. And the number 9 goes with that, setting limits on the internet, TV, and social media. Yeah. We really do need to do that. It really is robbing a lot of time from us. Do you let your phone tell you how much time you spent on it the day before? You need to let it do that. And you need to let that be a part of the evaluation. I shared this morning that we went years and years ago because the kids were smaller, younger, if you will, and we went to Branson and we went to Dixie Stampede, and there was a pre-concert type situation, pre-entertainment, and this particular time it was a juggler. I love that. I do. You know why I love that, a lot of you? Because I read a book years ago, and I became a juggler. Now, when I juggle, I have to have 3 objects, the same size, the same weight, yada, yada, yada. Well, a juggler doesn't have to have that. I mean, he can just juggle. And this guy was amazing. But what blew our socks off was with when his stepson came on the stage, and he could outdo the dad. And we're all like, 14-year-old, and I mean this kid, you know, and it didn't matter. Spatulas, it didn't matter. Bowling pins, chainsaws, no, I'm kidding. Small guy. And this was the story. Now, you guys know we have families here in this situation. When he became the dad, this 10-year-old son at the time wasn't too interested in, I get that, I understand it type. I don't understand it experientially. I can just simply see why that would be difficult. Watch this. He took his time, praise the Lord. And this young man was absolutely a gamer. He was a gamer. But a couple years into it, he asked his wife, can I challenge him to do a little bit of something different? Sure. So he just went with him, went to him and said, I'm asking, would you limit your time on the gaming console for how much time you put into something that could really be, and I know, young people, you can make money gaming now. I know that, okay? But, hey, let's play a little game. Everybody over 35 years old, raise your hand if you know what Twitch is. One, yeah, you were at first service. Ivan, you know what Twitch is? No, not getting it from Donna. And I'm not talking about a facial tic. Twitch is a online deal where you can make money while you're playing video games, and watch this, all you're doing is reacting to the video game. Now, usually you're really, 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 really good at the video game, am I right? Yeah, yeah. And they make money. So I'm not telling you that's a bad thing. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't try to do that if the Holy Spirit leads you into that. Watch this. I'm telling you that this was my experience at Dixie Stampede. That 10-year-old, 14-year-old at the time, could juggle because he started doing something else. Now, where am I going with this? Do you remember what this particular point is? Setting limits on internet, TV, and social media. What are you gonna do when you set those limits? You need to do something productive. You could probably spend more time in God's Word, spend more time in prayer, but you can also go help your neighbor. You can help your mom and dad, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. I have found that if you go to the Lord, you're not going to have any time filling your time. And I encourage you to do that. Lastly, number 10, setting personal family goals for 2022. What is a goal right now that your family knows that they're going to try to accomplish in 2022? For the Kingston Five, it's a prayer retreat. Now, I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm just telling you that that prayer retreat that we had back in early December, it impacted me, and I walked away from that retreat knowing I've got to do this with my 5. And so we're going to do that. And you need to have a goal. What are you going to do that impacts the kingdom of God in 2022? Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Even with all the young people sharing what they shared, which was awesome. Even with all the review, we're doing pretty good on time. While you're standing, yes, Brother Brad, can you get to that other, there it is right there. Sister Jamie sent this to me right before, well, during song service. I imagine you guys all know what that represents. And if you read the story there, Sister Jamie and Kenny have a beautiful young lady and a beautiful young man as a result of IVF. If you don't know what IVF is, talk to me later or talk to your parents. But this is a natural birth. Four other times the natural birth ended in a miscarriage. And so they're praying and begging God that this one will come to full term. And so far, so good. How many weeks are we at? 8 weeks. And this was just Friday, I believe. And so, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. If you read that, and if you didn't, I'm just going to tell you, she's asking her church family to join them and their family. And this all started with little Olivia asking for another brother or sister. Yeah. Ah, man, God pays attention to those prayers. He really does. And so we need to pay attention to those prayers. This is called agreeing. We're going to agree with baby Olivia, if you will. She's not a baby in her eyes, but she's a young girl. And we're going to agree with her, and we're going to ask God to bring this baby to full term, healthy. If God doesn't, he'll get us through it. Remember what we said at the beginning of this? If he doesn't make the way we hope, he'll make another way to get us through it. But we're going to ask him to make the way. Shoot for the moon and accept what he gives us. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Sister Jamie and Kenny, if you don't mind, let's have one verse of regular. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm inviting you to come. I'll take you or send you as someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. And maybe you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar, but at some point during this, would you come? And when they come, those of you that just want to come publicly, because you can pray from your heart anywhere at any time, but publicly, let's ask God to protect this child and bring this child to full term. And I encourage you to use those words type thing. Father, we just ask you to do your will and way in this invitation. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen.